This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. According to the CDC, nearly one in four Americans live with a disability. The Americans with Disabilities Act afforded them something that able-bodied and neurotypical people take for granted: access. But the arts industry is still catching up in disability representation, and Raleigh Little Theater is playing a part in those efforts. The lead character in their upcoming production, Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, has autism, and so does the young actor who portrays him. Joining us now in the studio to talk about the show and how the arts can better welcome people with disabilities is Patrick Torres, the director of Curious Incident. Welcome back, Patrick. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Michael Larson. He plays the lead character, Christopher, and is a junior at Eno River Academy in Hillsboro. Michael, welcome to you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Patrick, tell us about this play.
Yeah, so the play is based on the book of the same title by Mark Haddon. It was an international bestseller. It's a really wonderful story. And the play is a really great adaptation of the book. You know, the book is full of action, and that, you know, of course, is what makes great theater. And so it's a really fascinating play. When I first read it years ago, when the book first came out, I was just so fascinated by the protagonist and being able to see the world through the point of view of someone who thought very differently than me. It was just a book that stayed with me. And so when they turned it into a play, I've been following it for a while, and I'm really excited we get to do it.
Well, give us a little synopsis.
So Christopher, the book and the play open where he discovers a neighbor's dog, Wellington, has been murdered with a garden fork. And he sets out to find out who killed Wellington. And on the way to that, as all great mysteries do, you learn a lot about humanity, you learn a lot about yourself, and you learn a lot about the nature of truth. As you're looking to solve the mystery. So with a mystery, it's hard to give too many plot points because, you know, then there's a lot of reveals.
We won't ask you to do that, but I want to know, maybe you can reveal to us how Raleigh Little Theater decided to do a show and why cast someone on the autism spectrum disorder scale.
Yeah, so I've loved, like I said, I love the book and I've loved the play since I first read it. I actually didn't see the big Broadway or UK version, that big tour that came through. But I just love the story. And so we had looked around the community and noticed that no one had done it yet. And so that excited us. But also, we've been doing sensory-friendly programming for the last few years. And that's just really introduced us to so many new people in our community. And I just thought, well, now's the time. We've met all these folks who are really consuming the sensory-friendly programming. And I know that there are creative actors that could play this role.
Well, tell us more about sensory-friendly programming. What does that mean?
Yeah, so for our family series shows in the last couple of years, we've been doing sensory-friendly. What that means is that the creative team changes the show. We work with the Autism Society of North Carolina, and they send representatives to watch the show with us. And then we have these special performances where the show is changed. So anything that is in the technical production of the show that might cause someone distress who is, you know, sensitive to overstimulus. So we change sound cues. We lower those. We change lighting cues. We keep half the lights, the house lights that sit over the audience, we keep those at half for the entire show, so you're never in the dark. We also sell only about 3/4 of the seats, so there's space to move around if you need to move around. We hand out noise-canceling headphones, fidgets, things like that that just help people who might need it enjoy the show a little better.
So that's what you do to, you know, talk about access for an audience. And then you think, well, what about the stage? What are we doing there? Huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And Raleigh Little Theater's mission is to be a welcoming space. And so we've been on a journey for the past couple of years to really to live into that mission. And so for us, it's about representation. And, you know, neither in the book nor in the play is Christopher specifically diagnosed, but his behaviors, many people assume that he is on the autism spectrum. And this role is actually not always cast with people with autism. And so we wanted to change that. And we knew, because we run an access theater class and, again, the sensory-friendly programming, that there were amazing artists in town that were young that were on the spectrum. And so we decided to do the play. We knew it was time.
You put out the call specifically asking for. So, Michael Larson, tell us about this. When you found out about the possibility of auditioning, what did you do? What did you think about that possibility?
Well, I remember I was sitting in my home watching TV, and my mom came in, and she said, just offered me an email that she just received from one of her friends about how Patrick sent out an audition pamphlet for Raleigh Little Theater's production of Curious Incident. And at the time, I was really into musical theater, and I still really am. That's my main forte. I love to sing. I love to act, like all of that stuff, even more than just I love musicals even more than just specifically just story driven and mainly emotional driven plays like this one. But I wanted to do anything that could help boost my resume so that I might get into more musicals that I really want to be in. So I decided to audition. And during the auditions, I went up against a very, 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 very talented person who is much more into the theater community than I am, because I had only been in like local community plays, some school musicals, stuff like that. And I was positive that I wasn't gonna get it, but I ended up getting it, and it was a magical moment.
What was the audition like, though? I mean, obviously you recognized, okay, you're up against some pretty good competition, but what was the feeling that you had when you finally had to do your part and do your audition? How was that for you?
I don't actually get too nervous in terms of like basic auditions. If I've done the work to prepare. Like for the first part of the audition, which was just a solo audition, before the actual callbacks, it was just memorizing a simple scene, and I didn't actually get very nervous because I knew that I had put in the work to make sure that I had the scene memorized so that I didn't actually need to worry about, you know, forgetting something or flubbing lines and something like that. And if you put into the work to really get into the character, it isn't too nerve-wracking to perform like a speaking part, as long as you know that you've really done the effort and work to get into the character itself. In the callbacks, it was a little bit more nerve-wracking because I was in the actual stage area. I was with the three other children who had been called back for the role, and It was a little bit more nerve-wracking, but I still wasn't too nervous. I don't really get too nervous in terms of anything, even singing or something like that.
Apparently not. It was quite successful. You got the role, and as Patrick said, there's no real die. We never learn that the lead character in this play is diagnosed. But as you studied the character, what was your sense of Christopher in this play?
Well, he is a little different than I am in the sense that he's a little bit more direct. For example, he doesn't, he can't really understand metaphors too well. And I've never been like that sort of, I don't want to say like ignorant, but more like unknowing of the world around him. Anyways, so he's a little bit more, in the sense that he's a little bit more like, he doesn't exactly understand too much about other people's emotions. He doesn't have too much of the ability to express empathy. Anyways, and when I was reading the play, the script for the first time after I had gotten the role and I got the script out and I started reading, I realized that we also have a lot in common. Like, I could relate to his struggles. I could really understand who he was. He really clicked with me. So it was a lot of the points, especially when he gets when his senses get overloaded. For example, in Act Two, there's two scenes where he's traveling to London, and there are just tons of voices overlapping with each other. And I remember that exact same feeling in specific circumstances when I was much younger, especially when just people were talking over each other and I couldn't distinguish any of the voices, and it really made it so that I couldn't even speak.
This makes me curious, because this is almost, you're in a position almost the opposite of method acting in a sense. What we have to do in this play is portray the difficulty that someone on the spectrum might have. if they were confronted with all these voices. So we have to embody that, and you have to endure that. How do you work through the very thing that, certainly in Christopher's case, was a trigger?
I specifically work through those types of things by, first of all, I sing all the time. I have many different songs memorized. And I have a couple different songs that I sing a lot. Those really help me a lot, certainly like humming in my head voice to a certain tune in times where I feel like I'm being overwhelmed. I even sing it when I work on my homework a lot. that certainly helps a lot. I also have a very active imagination. I create stories in my head. I really love being able to come up with different stories and thinking about how those stories relate to my life and how I can better develop the characters in those specific stories and create new worlds. That really helps certainly a lot too. And I think it has a lot to do with acting. When you're acting on stage, you really do forget like who you are.
That's fascinating. I hadn't really thought about that, but in a sense that is, and that brings us back to method acting. Can you embody a character who is not you and still maintain a center? I'm talking to Michael Larson, who's a junior at Eno River Academy, and he's also the lead in Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, Raleigh Little Theater's production, and I wonder if you'd do a scene for us now, would you?
Oh, of course. I'll do the dream sequence scene, because I think it really helps exemplify how Christopher views the world as opposed to other people. Okay. I see everything. Most people are lazy. They never look at everything. They do what is called glancing, which is the same thing as a word for bumping off of something and carrying on in almost the same direction. And the information in their head is really simple. For example, if they were on a train looking out a window at the countryside, it might be 1.
There are some cows in the field.
2.
It is sunny with a few clouds.
3.
There are some flowers in the grass.
4.
There is a village in the distance.
And then they would stop noticing anything, because they would be thinking something else, like...
I wonder if Julie has given birth yet.
Or...
I'm worried that I might have left the oven on.
Or...
I really want a bag of cheesy Doritos.
But if I am sitting on a train, looking out a window at the countryside, I notice everything. Like, 1. There are 19 cows in the field, 15 of which are black and white, and 4 of which are brown and white. 2. There are 3 different visible nimbus stratus clouds. 3. There is a village in the distance with 32 visible houses, and a plastic bag in the hedge. 2. And a squashed Coca-Cola can with a snail on it. I can see 3, 4, 5, 6, 5 different types of grass. I can see 3, no 4 different. There is a wind blowing from a, there is a Coca-Cola, there is the snail, the cows are facing.
Michael Larson, performing a scene from Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. The show opens at Raleigh Little Theater on January 17th. It runs through February 9th. I'm talking with him and director Patrick Torres about disability representation in the theater and about just good old good theater, which you just represented here quite beautifully, I think. That good theater is really has to be the goal. And Patrick, let me ask you a little bit about that. I'm going to ask you about that in a second, because, Michael, I really have a question for you about that last scene and about what that scene tells us about the way Christopher sees the world and his relationship with the people around him.
Specifically, it shows us that most people, when they see things, they really don't take into account everything in the world around them. They specifically just look for the things that matter to them at the moment. And then they get distracted by other things. Not necessarily distracted, but they start thinking about other things that they deem important at this specific moment in time. But when Christopher looks out a window on a train, like in the scene I just portrayed, he notices all of the specific minute little details about the world and how they affect each other And he doesn't necessarily take into account what's important at the time. He just sort of makes sure that he can see the world in full at any given moment in time.
Yeah, but it offers such an insight to all of us on the way attention works, on the way consciousness works, that this is not just a thing that everybody has, that in some ways each of us is on some very, very, very broad spectrum. We pay attention in different ways. We give priority in different ways. And I'm brought to think about this after I see your performance in a way that I may not have. So, Patrick, that brings us to the value of really good theater, which is what you're presenting here. How do you balance that? I mean, this is clearly an intention of yours. You want to open the stage and have greater representation. You've also got to put on a good show. How do you do all that?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think that we trust that, we live in a really talented area of the country, and we also know that the material, particularly with this play, the material you've chosen is really good. And then you go on the search. You go on the search for the right actors. And for us, and this process was a little bit different for us, and it's really helped as a company. It's opened our eyes to some new practices. So I got advice from theater professionals who have disabilities on how to ask the questions for the audition. So our audition announcement looked pretty different. I mean, I know when we said we were looking for Christopher, we just named everything that would have to be done in the show, that there would be rapid changing of lights, there would be loud sound, you would have to disclose that you have autism, because we want to make sure that we are telling people that there is space available for them on the stage. And so we kind of listed everything that needed to happen, and we found 11 people auditioned. Wow. For that role. And so that was really exciting, just to know that there are young actors on the spectrum out there who want opportunity. And so for us as a community theater, particularly, and with the history of Raleigh Little Theater being so about our neighbors, right? We feel like it's responsible to put stories on stage that are representative of all of us, and those people in our community who often don't get their stories told. So we were really excited to do this one.
How does it change things, or does it for you as a director in this case?
You know, I have to admit, like going into it, I was I was nervous because I didn't know how we would connect. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how my own process would have to change. And what Michael's helped remind me is that everyone is unique and everyone is different. And really great directors, what we do is we learn how to communicate with individuals all the time to give notes, to make sure the show is progressing in the way that is most representative of the story. And that because Michael is different doesn't mean that the process has to be different. Mm. And he, too, is just fantastic. So it's been a pleasure.
Well, Michael, you talked about your love of musicals now. What's next for you after Curious Incident is over?
Like I said before, I really hope that having Curious Incident on my resume will really allow me to step into more maybe performance-driven musicals, such as like a more like emotionally-driven story, such as maybe The King and I or Les Mis, especially, because Javert in Les Mis is one of my all-time dream roles, and I have not gotten to play him yet, so I would really hope that I eventually do. But like I said, I'll just do anything that involves theater, because it really helps you step outside of yourself into the shoes of some other person, and it really helps you forget all of the turmoil of the real world, which, when you have autism, there can be a lot. It's not to say that you can't be happy. It's just to say that it can be difficult sometimes. It's hard. And just being able to have a moment in time where you know exactly what you're doing, and you can just go on stage and present to other people what you've been working on for so long, as well as being an entirely different person, that's just incredible. That's an incredible feeling. So I hope to really audition for anything after the show, not just my dream roles, but hopefully I'll be able to go to college for musical theater.
We look forward to seeing much, much more of you. Michael Larson, thank you so much for sharing your talent and your story with us today.
Thank you.
Michael Larson is a junior at Eno River Academy, playing the lead in the show. Patrick Torres, director of Raleigh Little Theater. It's called Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. Thank you as well, Patrick.
Thank you very much.
Curious Incident runs from January 17th to February 9th at Gad Goodwin Teaching Theater in Raleigh, and you can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org.